We sang in the songs today, a couple of them had the words about our dreams in them. And so as you turn to 1 John chapter 4, as I think about dreams, and it's the first one talked about letting the Lord reign in us and giving all our dreams to him. And I sat there and I thought, you know what, I'm living my dream. I'm living my dream. Back in 1995, we were here for 1 year on a sabbatical, and we lived in the church trailer. You were between pastors, and so we had the wonderful privilege of living in there, and maybe that's where it got into my blood. But I remember saying to Martha during somewhere in that year, or maybe even a little bit later, that, you know, it'd be my dream to be the pastor of this church. So you guys left a good impression on me the year we were here. And 12 years later, guess what? The Lord called us here, and it worked out, and I'm living my dream. There's a second dream I have that I'm sure will be fulfilled, and that is that all the members of this church will drive Ford. Well, we as pastors are trying to set a good example. Gordon drives Ford. Pete drives a Ford. Jordan has a Ford. Andy, no showing hands in there. But, you know, just so that we don't feel, if we feel along with you, I notice that each one of us also has something that you have. You know, just, no. But when it talks about dreams and your dream coming true, young people, talk to and listen to some of us that are on the other side of 50, and you will realize that so many times we're living our dreams, where our dreams have come true. Not every one of them, but the Lord is incredibly good when we allow him to reign in us, when we give him our dreams. Okay. The love of God. Have you ever bought something that had lifetime warranty, and then when it broke and you brought it back for warranty, you found out it wasn't in your lifetime? Isn't it interesting that so many times the big lettering says warranty, you know, lifetime warranty, and then it says limited. Warranties are oft, very many times, we are disappointed with warranties. They're not what they were made out to be. They are limited. Oh, once in a while they're good. When our children were little and we were buying glasses and they were stepping on them and losing them and everything else, at that time they had unconditional warranty. And for a little while. And I think they found out that it doesn't work. But you see, warranties are supposed to guarantee that something is going to work for the span of time it's made for. Lifetime warranties are numerous, but they're usually conditional or limited. Every time you think of warranty, I want you to think about God's love. Because God says that he loves us. God says that his love is unconditional, that it's for a lifetime. Last Sunday, we're going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, a blessing that we often speak. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what we talked about last Sunday, and probably some of the key things what we saw is how it was God's riches at Christ's expense and how incredibly rich his grace is, and that it is only by grace, for by grace you've been saved through faith and not as a result of works. And then it says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of The love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The love of God. In some ways, the teaching on the love of God is there before, or at least together, with our Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, because you see, it actually begins right at the time in Genesis chapter 3. It actually probably goes long before that, but humanly speaking, we begin to realize and to see that love God has for us. How we were sinners, how we needed a Savior, and how it needed to be someone who would live a perfect life so that they could give their life for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should never die but have eternal life. God's love is unconditional. And if it's unconditional, think about it. Think about the truth of that word, the definition of that word. And what you will find is that there's nothing that you can do that will make God love you more. In other words, you can never earn God's love. Your responding to him, your not responding to him, you will not change the fact that God loves you unconditionally. Because that word agape that's so often used when talking about God's love is a love that says that it's one-sided in the way in which one person, or in this case God, loves us without needing a response from us. He desires a response from us, but he doesn't need a response. He will continue to love. The moment we say that I will love you if you will do this or if you will do that, at that moment we have applied a condition to our love, and it's no longer unconditional. And so God will never love us more, and neither will he ever love us less. It doesn't matter to what depths of sin and of failure we fall and is in our lives, God will never love us less. What a freeing truth that is, that I don't have to earn God's love, I don't have to work so that he will love me better, and neither do I have to be concerned that he will ever love me any less. God's love is unconditional. Why is that? It begins because God is love. God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's very nature is love. It is his love that fills us in his work through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's love that comes inside of us, he says, lives in us, so that we have that capacity. But we have to recognize that our very nature is not love. But God's very nature is love. That's who he is. That's who he is. God is the very source for love. And that's why it says, that's the reason why it says that everyone who is born of God loves. Why? Because when you are born, you have of someone, you have the DNA of your parents. And when you are born again, when you become a child of God, then you have the DNA of the Father. And the Father's DNA is love. And now that love resides in you as his child. The one who is born of God knows love and will love. Loving is not one of the activities that God does, but rather loving, or all his activity arises out of that love that he has. The origin of love is God, and he demonstrated that love through our Lord Jesus Christ. God showed his love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Sounds a little bit like John 3:16, doesn't it? It isn't, but it's a very close to that. God showed his love, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Here he says, God showed his love. He sent his one and only Son so that we might live through him, that we might have eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might really live, that we might have true life. That's God's desire for us. That's God's passion for us. And so he sent his one and only Son. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. An atoning sacrifice. The word atoning means that something, someone turned away God's wrath. And Jesus Christ did that for us. If we were to back up a couple of chapters in 2 verse 2, it says that he, Jesus, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He's talking to us as believers, right? So he says he's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. But notice now God's unconditional love. He says not only ours, but also that of the whole world. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Has the whole world responded to him? No. But their sins are atoned for. Jesus died on the cross so that they too could have that possibility of knowing God. Without his, Jesus Christ, atoning sacrifice, without Jesus having turned aside the wrath of God that was rightfully ours and that we should have experienced, we could not be saved. We could not experience his love for us. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. You know what's so incredible about God's unconditional love for us? And that is that there's no person that ever needs to clean up their life, get their life in order, and then come to the cross. Do you notice that? You can come to the cross as you are with all of your sin. Your life does not need to change before you come to the cross. Then it's conditional love. But it's unconditional. God invites you to come to the cross, and there he does his work in us. We could try to change our lives, and many of us have. There's been many times where we've tried to stop bad habits, or we've tried to do this or tried to do that, and it stays at trying. We're good for a week, we're good for a month, we're good for a year, we may be good for a few years, but it seems like we just cannot change the things we would like to change for the better. It is God's work in us. His love poured out on the cross of Calvary that comes in and effects those changes within us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Paul says, but God demonstrates his love for us how? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Sometimes you and I struggle a bit with sharing the gospel with others. We have to be careful how we share God's love and God's salvation. Because we can sometimes leave the impression that you need to first clean up your life, and then you can come to the cross. You see, that's a tough balance. That's a tough balance for us as a church that lives by grace. Because you know, if the sinner and the grossest sinner is allowed to come to our church and sit with us. I remember an incident that happened in Mexico, where one of a man that was involved with the drug trade, a very, very rich man, started coming to church. You know what they said? Somebody said, they came to me the next week and they said that this is what's being said about him coming to our church. What are we going to do about it? Because people are saying, I will not sit on the same pew as someone who sells drugs. And my immediate response was, Jesus would. Jesus would. You see, we have to be very careful because we do not condone sin. But we have to love the sinner. How will we share God's love? How will we share God's grace unless we invite them and accept them as they are? We don't leave them as they are. We don't want them to stay as they are. But we must accept them as they are. Who is welcome here? Who gets the best seats? Is there someone you can think of that you would hesitate a bit to go sit beside them? Would you rather they sit somewhere else or sit at the very back? Or maybe even the foyer? God's love for people is unconditional. Look at the prodigal son. What happened when he turned around? When he came home, did he have to beat on the door, beg for his father to take him in? What did the father do? He was obviously watching because he ran out to meet the son. Did he tell him to go take a shower, and did he provide clean clothes and then give him a hug and kiss him? The father took that smelly, stinky son that smelled like pigs, and he took him in his arms and he loved him. And then he said, let's get clean clothes. Let's put a ring on his finger. Let's party. But the father hugged him in all of his filth and all of his dirtiness. The love of God at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ takes people as they are, forgives their sin upon repentance of faith, and then He provides the clean clothing. He provides everything. In Titus chapter 1, or chapter 3, verse 4, it talks about the kindness and the love of God. When the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Spirit. And God's love is made complete. God's love is made complete. When is God's love made complete? He says in verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. Three times in this passage, we find the words, love one another. What happens with this new birth, this new DNA, being like our Father? Love one another. He says, let us love one another, for love comes from God. So here we have an exhortation and encouragement to love. And then it says, since God so loved us, we also should love each other. It's a statement of duty. And then finally, it's a hypothesis. Will we do it? If we love one another, God loves in us, and his love is made complete in us. Loving one another is so important because reciprocal love, responding to love, this is how God revealed himself in self-sacrifice. Love always brings about sacrifice, doesn't it? If you do not love, if you build a wall around your heart that you will not allow yourself to fall into love or to love someone, you're not nearly as vulnerable to hurt, to pain. If there is no love, and you are a hermit living out in the forest, death will not have the impact on you that it does when you love someone. God showed us that type of love. His love was a self-sacrificing love. In John 1 verse 18, he says that no one has ever seen God, the one and only Jesus Christ, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. It is because God is love in himself that he has loved us in Christ, and he continues to love in and through us, that we must love each other. God revealed his love through Jesus Christ. The love of Christ lives inside of us, and we love each other. It's made complete. I don't know electricity, but I do know this, that when I flip the switch, the light goes on. Why? Because a circuit has been made complete. And you see how in this, the light comes on and there's brightness and you can see, and it's the same thing in a spiritual truth. God's love is revealed to us, shown us through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. But that love is only made complete in our lives as we flip the switch and it begins to make sense to us experientially when we learn to love each other. Learn to love each other unconditionally. Unconditionally. That no brother or sister ever has to earn our love for them. See, that love, unconditional love, agape love, is a love that I, through the Father, have control over what I'm going to do with that. You cannot affect my love for you, because that comes from God the Father and goes out to my brothers and sisters. It goes out to the world. It goes out to the worst sinner and the best person. Unconditional love doesn't differentiate. And that's the type of love that I want to allow Christ to pour into our lives. His love is made complete. The gift of God's Son not only assures us of God's love for us, but it's actually that gift that requires us to love each other. It is that gift that requires us. It says that Jesus, in John 1:18, it said that Jesus made him known. Do you know that today we, his children, his church, we are the demonstration of his love. We make him known. And I can guarantee you it's going to require self-sacrifice. It's not going to be fun all the time. It's not going to come easy. But Jesus left an example for us. We love God because or we love each other, sorry, because God is love, because He loved us, because if we love each other, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Thus, the God who is never seen is seen in those of us who love Him. Thank you for that special number. May my life be my worship. How fitting, exactly in this point, of God's love being made complete in us. That your life is what others will see. Your life is what will give them an impression of God. We recognize that Satan's greatest desire is that in God's children, in the church of Jesus Christ, that he can bring about disunity, that he can bring about misunderstandings between brothers and sisters so that they don't want to talk to each other, that they don't want to sit together, that they want to stay away from each other. Because if he can do that, then he has broken the connection, he has flipped off the switch that reveals God in the world. See, we are the demonstration of God's love. Jesus Christ, for his 30 years here on this earth, he did that. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God showed his love. And when Jesus went back to heaven, then he gave that mandate to us. May our lives be a worship. May they be worship. May God be seen in us. May that unconditional love of God be seen. 1 John 3, the first part of the verse there. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. God's love is unconditional. It means you cannot earn it. It means you cannot lose it. His love caused him to give his one and only Son so that through faith in him we can be saved. We can be forgiven of all our sins. John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. Just a neat passage that shows us the wonderful gift that has been given to us. He, Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The unconditional love of God. Every time you see the word warranty, think of God's love. Do you have things, items in your house that actually might still be good for warranty, but you've forgotten to take them back? And you don't even quite know where they are today, but maybe if you could find them, then you could take them back and you could get warranty. Sometimes people don't respond to the love God has for them to receive God's love, to receive this gift, because they're too busy with life. And life may be doing okay. And so they don't realize that what's broken, they've just kind of pushed it aside and they forget to take it back. And maybe they even think that, you know, one day I will. One day I will. We're never guaranteed that, are we? We're never guaranteed that we will have another day. Maybe it's because we're embarrassed because we've abused it. I love buying tools that have unconditional warranty on them, and then I put a cheater on them, a long bar, and then I stand on the bar and it breaks. And do you take it back, and how can you get warranty? You're embarrassed because, well, I didn't use it right. My phone and water had a fight last week, and the water won. There's no warranty. And I was embarrassed to bring it back. I didn't try and get warranty. But you know, sometimes our sin is so deliberately our own actions or our own mistakes. And then we say, how can God forgive me? Because I chose this. I chose to abuse the love he has given to me. I chose to abuse the gift he has offered. I never received it. I've turned it away. And so we never claim it. God's love, the gift of his love, is there to be claimed. Respond to his love. Let his love fill you, live in you. God's love is unconditional. All you have to do is receive it. As his children, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. That's why we call each other brothers and sisters. Are you revealing God's presence to others? Are you revealing God's presence? Is God's love made complete in your lives? Folks, life is too short to allow our differences to keep us apart, to allow our differences to keep on going. To love each other means that we will have to forgive each other. It means that we will open ourselves up to hurt. We will open ourselves up to misunderstanding. The challenge is not that I will forgive you if you forgive me. The challenge is that I will love you, I will forgive you, irregardless of your response. If God's love lives in us, then God's love, that love in us, is unconditional. And that's the call. That's actually the command that he gives to us. The command that we must love each other. Why does he give us such a clear command, and a command that's so hard to keep? Because he knows that that is best for us, and he knows that that is the only example that we can give to the world of God's presence being here. Let's pray. Father, you have loved us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you all. I love that verse, Lord. But I pray today that there will be an incredible outpouring of the impact of what that would do to our lives today. Make our hearts receptive. Father, you know where each of us are on our spiritual journey. And Holy Spirit, if we could see you and you were flesh, which you are not, but then it would be our desire that you would stop in front of each of us, stop in front of my heart, in front of my life. Would you show me a mirror? Would you show me what you would like me, how you would like me to respond? we invite you to show us, to empower us with the love of our Father. And we're going to go out of here, Lord, and we're going to show you to the world. Amen.